Okay, let's dive into this. AI is just, it's everywhere now, isn't it?
It really is. No escaping it.
And it's definitely moved way beyond just, the usual tech giants. We're seeing it pop up in these really complex, highly regulated fields. Think pharmaceuticals.
Absolutely. High stakes, lots of rules.
But here's the thing that's really interesting, I think. In places like pharma, the leaders, the ones driving these big AI projects, they're usually not the ones writing the code.
No, they're business people, strategists, clinical experts, operations folks.
Exactly. So what happens when you're that person, the non-technical leader, and suddenly you're responsible for making these powerful, probably pretty expensive AI projects actually work? How do you even like start guiding a technical team or maybe an outside vendor effectively?
The million-dollar question, isn't it?
It really is. And that's exactly the challenge we're digging into in this deep dive. We've got this source material, this document that honestly speaks directly to this. It's all about how people without a deep tech background can manage AI teams or vendors, especially in that tricky pharma environment.
Right, where the regulations add another whole layer of complexity.
For sure. So our mission today, we're going to try and pull out the absolute must-know strategic insights from this material. Think of it as your essential playbook for navigating these AI initiatives successfully, even if you don't know your Python from your C++ily.
Like a cheat sheet for the business lead.
Kind of. So the central question really is, what are the key shifts in thinking, in action, that you need to make as someone focused on business strategy to guide a technical AI project so it delivers, real, tangible value?
And what's great about this source material is how it immediately sets the stage. It makes it clear. Your role isn't suddenly to become an AI engineer overnight.
Okay, that's probably a relief for many people.
Right. Your strength is your business knowledge. You understand the market, the regulations, the actual needs. The trick is balancing those crucial business goals with the, let's say, technical realities of building AI.
So bridging the gap.
Exactly. Making sure whatever gets built actually provides measurable value and ticks all those compliance boxes. Your domain expertise, it's just as vital as the coding skills.
Okay, so where do we start? What's the first big takeaway?
Well, the very first point, the foundation this source really hammers home, is you have to start with crystal clear business outcomes.
Not the tech first.
Definitely not the tech first. That's the common mistake, right?
Yeah.
You go to the team and say, we need a machine learning system to analyze patient data.
Sounds specific enough, maybe.
It sounds technical, but from a business angle, it's still fuzzy. What
Yep.
for? The recommended approach, and the source is really firm on this, is defining a specific, measurable business goal. Frame it around the problem you're actually solving.
Okay, give me an example.
So instead of just an ML system, you'd say something like, we need to identify patients likely to drop off their treatment in the next 90 days. Why? So we can roll out targeted retention interventions. See the difference?
Okay. Yeah, that's much clearer. It's got a purpose tied directly to a business action.
Exactly, a concrete business objective.
And I can immediately see why that clarity up front is just critical. If you
Yeah.
just ask for an ML system, the tech team, they could build something technically brilliant, right?
Totally. State of the art.
But if it doesn't actually help you predict that specific thing, the patient dropout, or solve your actual business problem, then, well, it's kind of useless, isn't it?
Pretty much a waste of resources.
So this focus helps them build the right thing, and it gives you a way to measure if it actually, worked in the real world beyond just some technical score.
Precisely. Did it move the needle on the business problem?
The source apparently has this stark example of failure. A pharma company hired a vendor. The goal was vague: improve clinical trial efficiency.
Okay, sounds reasonable on the surface.
Right. They got this technically slick system that was amazing at optimizing patient scheduling,
Right.
but the real bottleneck, their actual problem, it wasn't scheduling, it was slow patient enrollment.
Oh dear. So the tech worked, but missed the point.
Exactly. The system delivered efficiency in one area, but it didn't touch the core business problem. Why? Because that ultimate business objective wasn't nailed down clearly from the very start. They got a solution, just not the one they needed.
A classic misalignment. Happens more often than you'd think.
Okay, so step one, define that clear outcome. Know what you want and why. So the next logical step, how do you know if you're actually getting there? How do you define, good enough for it to be useful?
Right, and this is where the source really pushes for establishing quantitative success criteria. And the key is before development even kicks off.
Quantitative, so numbers.
Numbers. Measurable targets. What does success actually look like? You have to spell it out.
Can you give some examples from the source?
Sure. So say you're building AI for monitoring adverse events. You need to specify things like the acceptable accuracy rate for spotting those events. What's the response time needed for an alert? How exactly does it need to integrate with the existing safety systems you have?
Okay, very specific.
Or for predictive analytics, maybe trying to predict treatment success, you'd set clear performance thresholds. What prediction accuracy percentage do we actually need to make a reliable business decision? Is 80% okay? Do we need 95%? And what kind of validation does it need to pass before we trust it?
Got it. Define good upfront.
And the source makes this really helpful distinction between primary and secondary metrics.
Okay, what's the difference there?
Primary metrics are all about the direct business impact. Think time saved, costs cut, better accuracy in detecting fraud, or whatever the core goal is, pure business value.
Right, the bottom line stuff.
Exactly. Secondary metrics, though, are more about the implementation itself. Mm-hmm. Is it working in the real world? Mm-hmm. This covers things like user adoption or people actually using the tool.
Important.
Crucial. Also, system reliability. Does it crash all the time? And especially in pharma, regulatory compliance. Is it meeting all the rules?
Okay, so both types matter.
Absolutely. Yeah. The source argues you need both for long-term success. You might hit your primary accuracy target, but if nobody uses the system or it's not compliant, it's still a failure, right?
Yeah, that makes total sense. A technically perfect system nobody uses is just expensive shelfware.
Precisely. Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about something this source highlights as a really common reason AI projects just tank, especially in tricky environments like pharma.
Uh-oh. What's the big project killer?
Data issues.
Okay. Not surprising, maybe.
No, but the advice here is really strong. Address data requirements, then quality, availability, access, compliance super early, and be brutally honest about it.
Honest how?
Honest about what you actually have, what state it's in, what you can realistically get access to. Mm-hmm. They strongly recommend doing thorough data audits before you even get deep into picking a vendor or scoping the project.
Wait, so hold on. You need to figure out your data problems before you even hire the AI people who are supposed to work with the data. That feels counterintuitive somehow.
It might feel that way initially, yeah. But the source argues it's absolutely essential. Being transparent about data limitations right from the start is key.
Why is that?
Because it's far, far better to scope the project realistically based on the data you know you have, including its flaws, than to discover halfway through that, oh, wait, the data is a mess or we can't actually use it like we thought.
And then everything grinds to a halt or costs explode.
Exactly. Discovering those problems mid-project can derail everything, timelines, budgets, the whole nine yards. Better to know the limitations up front and plan accordingly.
Okay, that makes sense when you put it that way. Scope realistically.
And in pharma, this data conversation gets complicated fast. You absolutely have to pull in your IT folks, your compliance teams, legal maybe, right from day one.
Because of all the regulations.
Totally. You need to understand data access restrictions, who can see what. Patient privacy is paramount, obviously. What are your internal data governance rules? What about all the regulatory requirements like HIPAA or GDPR? You need to map all that out before you promise a vendor access to data you might not legally or practically be able to provide.
Right. Can't just hand over sensitive patient data.
Definitely not. And these data considerations, they aren't just minor technical details. They massively impact your project timelines, the costs, and frankly, whether the whole thing is even feasible.
Wow. Okay. So data isn't just an input. It's like a foundational pillar you have to secure first. It's not just about the cool algorithm.
Not at all. The coolest algorithm is useless without the right accessible compliant data to feed it.
So speaking of managing all this complexity and, let's face it, the inherent risks, the source also talks about the development approach itself, right? It sounds like it advises against trying to do everything at once.
Exactly. Don't try to boil the ocean, as they say. The recommendation is very clear. Phased development. Meaning, instead of aiming for some massive, enterprise-wide, all-singing, all-dancing AI system right out of the gate, start smaller. Focus on pilot projects. Target specific, manageable use cases first.
Okay, like proof of concept projects.
Sort of, yeah. But maybe a bit more than just proof of concept. Real pilots solving real, albeit smaller, problems. The benefits are huge. First, it drastically cuts down your initial risk and the upfront investment.
Makes sense. Less to lose if it doesn't pan out perfectly.
Right. But maybe even more importantly, it lets your organization learn. You build internal know-how. You understand the practical hurdles of deploying AI in your specific environment with your data, your people. and you can show some tangible value in a contained way before you ask for the big bucks to scale up.
So you build momentum and confidence.
Exactly. The source actually points to examples like the Novartis AI Innovation Lab partnership with Microsoft. They didn't just say, let's sprinkle AI everywhere.
What did they do instead?
They focused. They targeted specific high-value predictive models, like models to predict the likelihood of success for a clinical trial, or identifying the right patient groups for recruitment. Much more focused.
Ah, solving specific pain points.
Precisely. And that approach let them learn, tweak their processes, demonstrate real value in those areas, and then they can make informed strategic decisions about where and how to expand AI more broadly.
Okay, that feels much more practical and, frankly, less scary than a giant Big Bang AI rollout. It's about building capability over time.
It's a much more sustainable approach, typically.
So that leads us nicely into what might be the biggest day-to-day challenge for a non-technical leader. Actually, talking to the tech team or the vendor. How do you bridge that communication gap when you don't, you know, speak fluent geek?
Yeah, this is crucial. The source offers some really practical advice on setting up communication protocols. Regular check-ins are obviously important.
Standard project management stuff.
Right. But the focus of those check-ins is key. It needs to stay centered on the business outcomes and the progress towards those specific goals we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the meetings devolve into purely technical deep dives that go over your head.
Okay, steer the conversation back to the business value.
Exactly. And demand demonstrations, but not just abstract demos. Ask them to use real data examples. Show you how the system is actually working or how it will work with the kind of information it's going to see in the real world.
Make it tangible.
And this is huge insist. Insist on plain language explanations for technical problems. If they say something like, oh, the model isn't converging, don't just nod along.
Ask, so what?
Pretty much. Ask, okay, what does that mean for our goal of predicting patient dropout by the end of the quarter? Always translate the technical challenge back to the business implication.
Okay, that's empowering. Focus on the impact.
And you absolutely have to build strong feedback loops. The source is really clear on this. Get the actual end users involved.
The people who will use the system day to day.
Yes. Get them involved early and often. Why? Because technical teams, bless them, sometimes make assumptions about how people work, about their workflows, and are just wrong.
Yeah, I've seen that happen. The tool looks great, but doesn't fit how anyone actually does their job.
Exactly. Regular user testing, feedback sessions, they prevent those really costly misalignments between the tech design and the operational reality. Saves rework later.
So communication is key. Feedback is key. What about understanding the AI itself? How much transparency should a business leader demand?
A lot, according to this source. You, as the business leader, need to understand not just its overall performance, like it's 90% accurate, but also its limitations.
What kind of limitations?
Well, what should you ask for?
Yeah.
The source suggests things like confidence intervals for predictions. How sure is the model when it makes a prediction? Mm. Is it 99% sure or like 60% sure? That matters.
Yeah. Huge difference. Yeah.
Ask for explanations of the key factors driving its decisions. If it predicts this patient will drop out, why? What were the main data points influencing that?
The why behind the prediction.
Exactly. And critically, ask them to identify situations or maybe types of data where the model might be less accurate or less reliable. Where should you be cautious?
Ah, okay. Because that transparency is what allows me, the business leader, to make appropriate decisions using the AI's output, right?
Precisely. You need to know when you can pretty much trust this recommendation and when maybe you need to apply more human judgment, more oversight, or dig deeper.
It's about understanding the tool's strengths and weaknesses, not just taking its answer as gospel.
Exactly right. And flowing directly from that need for clarity and also for future usability and compliance, the source really emphasizes the need for comprehensive documentation.
The dreaded documentation.
Huh. Maybe dreaded, but essential. Demand documentation that covers the system's full capabilities, its known limitations, exactly what data it needs to function properly, and clear procedures for maintenance and updates.
Especially in pharma, I guess.
Oh, absolutely non-negotiable in pharma for regulatory compliance. But it's also vital for training your staff effectively. And it's critical if you ever need to modify the system down the road or troubleshoot problems. Good documentation is your friend.
Okay, so it really sounds like building the tech, getting the code written and deployed, that's really only part of the whole story. The project isn't just done then.
Not even close. This source spends a good chunk of time on what happens after deployment. They strongly stress that planning for change management and user adoption, That needs to start way back at the project's inception.
Not as an afterthought.
Definitely not something you just tack on at the end. You can't just build a cool tech and then sort of throw it over the wall to the users and hope for the best.
Why is it so important to plan early?
Because AI systems, especially sophisticated ones, often require pretty significant changes to how people do their jobs. They change workflows, they might impact multiple teams, multiple stakeholders.
Right, it's disruptive, potentially.
It can be. So you need to plan. You need to develop training programs. You need to communicate the benefits of the system, the what's in it for me,
yeah,
clearly and probably repeatedly. And you need to be ready to proactively address the concerns people will inevitably have.
Because technical success means nothing if nobody uses it.
Exactly. User adoption is paramount. Technical success without user acceptance is ultimately a failure.
What about working with vendors? Any specific advice there?
Yeah, the source says to establish really clear accountability measures in your contracts. Think about things like guaranteed response times if there's an issue.
Service level agreements, SLAs.
Exactly, SLAs. Maybe accuracy guarantees for the model under certain conditions. What level of support are they committed to providing? Nail that down.
Especially because AI models aren't static, right?
Right. Especially in dynamic fields like pharma, ongoing monitoring and adjustment are often needed. Data patterns shift, business needs evolve, your vendor relationship needs to be set up to support that ongoing tuning and maintenance.
And what about the more legal or business basics?
Don't forget those. Things like intellectual property, IP, data ownership. You need to sort that out right up front in the contract.
Like, who owns the trained AI model?
Yes. Who owns the model that was trained on your data? What happens to your proprietary data if you decide to end the relationship with the vendor? Make sure termination clauses are really clear. This is super important if you ever need to switch vendors or bring the system in-house.
Okay, critical details often buried in the fine print.
They can be, but they're vital. And finally, related to the ongoing nature of AI, plan for robust post-implementation monitoring.
Checking up on it after it goes live.
Constantly. AI model performance can degrade over time. The real-world data it sees might start to drift away from the data it was originally trained on. Business conditions change. You need processes in place to continuously monitor its performance and catch any degradation or issues before they start causing bad business outcomes.
So it's never really fire and forget.
Definitely not with AI. It requires ongoing care and feeding.
Wow. Okay. So pulling all this together, it really feels like the core message from this material for you, the non-technical leader, is this. Successfully managing AI projects. It isn't really about needing to understand the intricacies of the algorithms.
No, not primarily.
It's much more about having absolute clarity on the business outcomes you're actually chasing, setting realistic expectations that are grounded in the reality of your data, planning for the, let's be honest, often messy human parts, adoption, communication, and maintaining diligent oversight even well after the initial launch.
That sums it up perfectly.
Yeah.
The source's key takeaway really reinforces that. Success hangs on those clearly defined business outcomes, setting realistic expectations from day one, and fostering really strong, transparent communication between the business side and the technical side.
Bridging that gap again.
Exactly. And remember, your deep expertise in pharma market dynamics or whatever your specific industry is, that knowledge is just as critical, maybe even more critical for the project's ultimate success than the pure technical horsepower.
Okay, that's a powerful message. The document apparently gives you a really fantastic practical question to take away and use.
Yes, it's a great one.
Next time you're in a meeting about an AI project, ask this specific question. Okay, what specific business metrics are we expecting to improve here? By how much? And how exactly are we going to measure our success throughout the development process, not just waiting until the very end?
Use that question. It cuts right through the noise.
It really forces the focus onto value delivery, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
All right. And to wrap up, here's a final thought-provoking idea for you to mull over, something this source material really strongly implies.
Okay, let's hear it.
The biggest risk to your AI project. It often isn't some super complex technical glitch in the algorithm itself. Mm-hmm. More often than not, the real danger is a failure to properly connect that powerful technology back to the actual messy, real-world business problem it was supposed to solve in the first place.
The connection back to reality.
Yeah, and critically, a failure to really consider and engage with the people who ultimately need to use it and benefit from it. So the question for you is, what might that perspective mean for how you approach your next big project, whether it involves AI or, frankly, anything else?